Welcome to Michael's Saturday Surprise for November 27th, 2010. And now to take the top off the box and see what we have, here's Michael.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving, and hope everyone enjoyed their turkey and ham and whatever else you guys decided to have. Hopefully you guys are not too stuffed from the turkey. So that means that you guys can enjoy what's on the program for tonight. And what's on the program for tonight, you ask? Well, tonight we hear from that man from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Rob Hancock. And he'll be playing one of his Yesterday Once More programs. So, hope you guys enjoy the program.
Thank you, Mike. It's now time for Yesterday Once More. Yesterday Once More is the program that turns back the hands of time to those thrilling days of old-time radio. Today on Yesterday Once More, we feature two Christmas programs featuring the Damon Runyon Theater. First, Dancing Dan's Christmas. Now, there's a very special way of enjoying Yesterday Once More, and that is to sit back in your favorite easy chair and relax because it's Yesterday Once More.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, Dancing Dan's Christmas. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. The time this story takes place is Christmas. The time when everybody is saying things about peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now that is a sentiment with which I go along 300%. And I wish that everyone will take it to heart. However, there are certain citizens who never hear of peace. And goodwill is nice, but not absolutely necessary. And how it happens that I almost spend my last Christmas with no will at all is quite a story, which I will tell you about in a minute.
Back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Dancing Dan's Christmas.
It is just 2 days before Christmas that I am sitting in Mindy's enjoying some cheesecake and coffee. My enjoyment is not long-lasting because no sooner is the first bite in my mouth than I am joined by a character named Shotgun Sam, so-called for reasons that are plain. He sidles up, eyes me for a couple of seconds, then sits down. The cheesecake has no more flavor and gets even less tasty, as Shotgun says as follows.
Broadway, how are you?
First rate. How are you, Shotgun?
Tired. Very tired. Is the cheesecake good?
I just take my first bite.
Oh. I don't see Dancing Dan any place around, do you?
I am not looking for it.
I am.
Oh?
He is as hard to find as warmth in the bookie's heart.
It seems to me that the places to be looking for Dancing Dan would be the nightclubs. He likes to dance.
Mm-hmm. And that is just why I'm looking for him. Because he's such a slick dancer.
You wish to take lessons?
I do not. I wish to give Dancing Dan one. And one he will not forget.
I tell you, I do not see him any place.
I believe you.
Thanks.
Broadway, I do not like the job I gotta do.
Which is?
It seems that Dancing Dan dances too much here lately with the wrong doll.
Muriel O'Neill?
The same. You know about it, then?
Well, there is a rumor that Heini Schmitz likes it.
Said rumor is absolutely true. And because it is, Heini wishes Dancing Dan to know it.
Look, Shotgun, what harm is there in dancing with Muriel O'Neill?
None. Except that Dancing Dan does it more than once. Now I've got to find him and end his career. You're sure you do not see him?
As sure as I am a foot high, I do not.
Okay. But if you do, you will let me know?
Well, to tell the truth, I do not get to many places which are apt to see Dancing Dan.
But in case you do, Heine would take it as a personal favor if you would tell me. Also, he would take it as a personal affront if you do not.
But, Chef...
I also would take it as a personal affront. I have got this job to do for Heine. And I would like to get it over with because I wish to get home for Christmas. I do not like to spend the Christmas season hunting for somebody.
I hear.
Okay. See you around.
Now, when a citizen like Shotgun Sam says he would take it as a personal affront, he means just that. So I make it strictly my business to keep more than somewhat away from the spots where I am likely to see Dance and Dan. Not that I would tip off Shotgun, because I like Dan. But if Shotgun finds out that I see Dan and do not tell him, that is not only the end of my peace on Earth, it is the end. So it is on Christmas Eve that I am in Good Time Charlie's, a place Dance and Dan is never likely to show up. The scene is as follows.
This is what is known as Tom and Jerry Broadway. You like it?
It is very good.
A great thing for Christmas.
Charlie,
yeah?
How does it happen you have no other customers tonight?
Christmas Eve, everybody stays home. I figure I'll close up early and...
Who's that?
It does not make any difference. Let him knock. Now, as I was saying...
Whoever it is wants to come in.
I gotta close up. No more customers tonight.
Maybe it is someone who wants to see you.
Okay. Leave the door on its hinges. I'm coming.
Hi, Charlie.
Dan. Dancing Dan.
Yeah. Dancing Dan.
Well, Broadway, how are you?
What are you doing here, Dan?
Here? Well, I just thought I'd drop in and wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Everybody is not here.
And so I see. Hey, Charlie, is that a Tom and Jerry?
Yeah, you wish one?
Yeah, just one. Then I gotta go. Here, store this someplace for me, will you?
Yeah, what is in the package? Iron?
Not by a long shot. Well, Broadway, I haven't seen you for a long time. Where you been keeping yourself?
Safe?
Huh? How's it with you, Charlie?
Yeah, pretty good. Here. Have a Tom and Jerry on the house.
Thanks. Good.
Yeah.
Dan, is it safe for you to be out?
Huh? Oh, you mean about Heine Schmitz, huh?
That is it.
Well, this is kind of a farewell party, boys. From now on, I'm going the straight and narrow.
Yeah,
why? I mean, this is news.
Yeah. Maybe because I'm in love.
This makes it worse. I presume the doll is Muriel O'Neill.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is Christmas. I figure there's no better time for a guy to cut out his old life and build something new for himself. And that's what I'm going to do. And here's to you, Broadway.
Look, Dan, I'd give a million potatoes if I do not see you tonight.
Why?
I just would. You are plenty hot.
Oh, sure. Heine doesn't like me. And when Heine doesn't like somebody, that somebody is in the red. Plenty.
I gotta go, Dan.
Why?
Look, you know I wouldn't give the tip off, Dan, but... Well, Shotgun Sam is looking for you. And when he finds you...
I know.
Broadway is right, Dan. Shotgun will not be particular who is between him and his target.
Yeah.
You sure nobody sees you come in here?
I don't know.
Holy mackerel. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Funny, isn't it? Here I am, in love with a doll who loves me. I want to go straight. I want to forget the old life and build up something new for Muriel and me. I got to do it the hard way.
Yeah, it is funny.
Okay, tell you what. I'll stay just a couple of minutes. Then I'll take the heat off you two by getting out of here. Okay?
Sure, Dan. You are an all right guy.
Broadway? What do you say?
It's Christmas Eve. What else can I say?
Thanks. Well, Merry Christmas, boys.
It is more than a little uncomfortable in Good Time Charlie's, as any minute we are expecting Shotgun Sam to poke in and end the proceedings. But the half hour goes by, and all three of us are beginning to think that everything is all right, when the scene is as follows.
That is somebody at the door.
Yeah, it is.
There's a back way out of here.
You think they won't have that covered? Open the door, Charlie.
You crazy?
I'm tired of running away. Open the door.
I cannot do this, Dan.
Step back. I'll open
it. No, don't, Dan.
Look, if anything happens, take that package to police headquarters.
Police?
Yeah, there's a note in it.
Virus database has been updated.
Now get back out of line of the door.
Merry Christmas. Look. It's Santa Claus.
It is somebody who looks like him.
Hey, look.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Broadway.
Look, it is Ookie.
Yeah, Ookie dressed up like Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm glad you opened, Charlie. It's pretty cold outside.
Ookie, what is the idea of the Santa Claus suit?
And what is the idea of scaring 10 years out of us?
Who? Me?
Oh, it's okay, Ookie. You didn't know. But like Broadway asked, what's the idea of the Santa Claus suit?
Well, I'm advertising Fletcher's store. 50 cents an hour I get for walking up and down the streets handing out his cards.
Oh, you got yourself a bad cold.
Uh-huh. But I'm going to be all right in a couple of minutes. Just gotta get warm first.
Well, you're crazy. You will get pneumonia if you go out again.
I need the dough bad.
You mean you're so broke you got to walk up and down that Santa Claus suit for half a check an hour?
How do you like that?
Here, Rookie, drink this. A Tom and Jerry.
Yeah? Thanks. That's good. It's nice and hot. But, gee, I wish I could stay in here and talk with you guys, but I got to beat it.
You are figuring on going out in the cold?
Well, I need the dough. I ain't got a cent, and my wife's kind of sick. I'd kind of like to bring her a little present this year.
Okay, how long you have to walk around like that?
About till midnight.
Well, it's only 10 now.
You will get soaking wet in the snow in 2 hours.
Oh, I'll stop in the storefronts and places to get warmed up. Well, got to get going. Thanks for the Tom and Jerry.
Sure. Here. Buy the wife a good present, huh?
Oh, gee. Well, thanks, Charlie.
Here, give her one for me, too, huh?
Oh, no, look.
I'm making a real Christmas, Ookie.
Well, gee, Dad. Guys, I got a bad cold. Makes me sniffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, got to get going.
Wait, Ookie. You got dough now. Why kill yourself for a measly 4 bits an hour?
Well, it ain't only this job. But Fletch promised me if I'd make good, he'd let me clean up his place overnight. 15 a week. And I need the job. So you see, I gotta do it.
No, you don't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I've been pretty sick the past year. Couldn't hold no job, but this year's gonna be different. I promise Midge, my wife.
Okay. Take off that suit.
Huh? But, Dan, I got...
Take it off.
Dan, what's the idea?
I'm not going to let Ookie walk around with that cold.
Oh, now, please, Dan. I need the job I'm going to get.
You'll get it, because Fletcher's Santa Claus is going to walk around.
What are you talking about, Dan?
Me. I'm going to be Santa Claus.
Now I hear everything.
But, Dan...
Go on, start taking it off. You stay here till you get good and warm. Then take a cab back home.
Dan, I won't never forget this.
Well, I won't either.
Well, I'll have it off in a jiffy.
Dan, you are crazy. You'll be walking around the streets. You'll be a setup for shotgun. You've got a chance if you keep out of sight.
I'm going to make this the best Christmas I ever had. It says peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Okay, I'm through running away. If shotgun wants to rub me out on Christmas Eve, let him. I'm not going to run away anymore.
But what about Muriel? Why do you not think about her?
I am. I'm giving her a Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Together, we don't have to keep running away. By herself, she'll do a lot better. Hurry up with that suit, Ookie. Mm-hmm.
Now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Dancing Dan's Christmas.
Well, Dancing Dan puts on Ookie's Santa Claus suit, beard and all. We get a pillow from Good Time Charlie and make Dan look quite a bit like the real thing. And then, just as he is about to leave, the scene is as follows.
Now, who is calling me on the phone?
Answer it, Charlie.
Yeah. I'll be back in just a second.
Dan, for the last time, do not do this.
I'm doing it for Ookie and Muriel.
Who?
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah, maybe in Santa Claus.
I tell you, you got a chance.
No,
if you...
nothing.
Hey, Broadway.
Yeah, Charlie.
This call is for you.
What? For me? But nobody knows I am here.
Well, you better take this.
But...
Go ahead, Broadway. I'll wait here till you're through.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You are not going to like this, Broadway. Who is it? Here, take it. I will go back and talk to Dan. Hello? This is Broadway.
Broadway, this is Muriel O'Neill.
What?
Charlie told me Dan's there.
Well, yeah, he is, but how'd you know?
He said he was going to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Broadway, watch him. Don't let him do anything crazy. Please.
Miss O'Neill, I have no control whatsoever of
Charlie told me what he's going to do. You mustn't let him, Broadway, please.
What is there I can do?
Talk him out of it.
I tried that for a solid half an hour.
Then go with him.
We have a bad connection. I think you say go with him?
Yes.
It is a very bad connection.
Broadway, look, it's Christmas. I love the big goof. I know what he's thinking and I know what he's doing. Please, stay with him.
Miss O'Neill, I know it is Christmas, and I would like to see what it is like next year, too.
Broadway, they might not try anything if there's somebody with him. Don't you see?
I do not.
You're afraid. All right. Hold him there until I get to him. I'll go with him.
Oh, no. Hey, no, please.
Hold him there.
No, look, Miss O'Neill, there is no... Miss O'Neill, Miss O...
Step on him, Broadway. I want to get going.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Friend of yours on the phone?
Uh-huh. A friend of mine.
Yeah, well, what does the friend have to say, Broadway?
Nothing much. Say, Dan.
Yeah?
I think I will walk a piece with you.
Huh? You're crazy.
I need some air.
Broadway, stay here.
I have to meet somebody in a little while. Come on, Dan.
Okay, I can't stop you. Oh, give me that package, Johnny.
What have you got in there, Ben?
A Christmas present for the police. Come on, Broadway.
Well, so I am crazy. But I do not like to see Miss Muriel O'Neill taking a chance. So I figure I will go with Dan, so that if Miss O'Neill comes into Charlie's, he will tell her I am with him. We step out into the street. The snow is sparkling under the lights, and the bells are ringing. It is a beautiful Christmas Eve, and everybody looks happy but me. I am very sad, and more than somewhat jumpy, because I expect any minute to hear something that is not Christmas chimes. But we walk up the street, and the scene is as follows.
Look, Broadway, did you ever see a night like this?
Truthfully, no.
Fresh snow on the street, people laughing, talking. What makes people laugh like this, Broadway?
I wish I know.
So do I.
Look, Dan, how far do you expect to walk?
Not far, just to Muriel's place.
Muriel's?
Yeah. I want to put something in her grandma's stocking.
I do not know what you are talking about.
Oh, her grandmother hangs up her stocking every year and gets nothing. But this year, she's going to have a good Christmas. Just one before she dies. This year, that stocking is going to get something good in it.
Like what?
See this package? Know what's in it?
If it is at all like the rest of this evening, there is a bomb in it.
No. I made a haul. 50,000 clams worth of jewelry. This is Christmas Eve, and so I figured I'd take it back to the police because I am going straight.
You are walking around in a Santa Claus suit with 50 grand worth of jewelry wrapped up in a newspaper?
It's the only paper I could find.
And I am with you?
Take it easy, Broadway. No one will think of frisking Santa Claus for jewelry. Hey, look.
Where? What? Who?
A Salvation Army doll. Rusty is not doing a good business. Come on.
Dan, please, let us get in off the street. You now have your fun.
I have to pass out these cards for Ookie, sure. But meanwhile, we're going to drum up a little business for the Salvation Army, Doc.
Merry Christmas. And the last.
Good evening, miss.
Oh, hello there, Santa.
I don't see much folding money in that kettle.
Well, people are too busy to stop, I guess.
Uh-huh. Okay, I will see what I can do.
And please, let us get off the street.
Ah, there's a customer. Hey, you.
Hey, you talking to me?
Uh-huh. You know who I am?
You look like Santa Claus to me.
I am. Now, you be one.
Huh?
Put something in the kettle.
Now, look here.
You look bad. Put something in the kettle.
Of course.
And see that what you put in doesn't make a tinkly sound. In fact, no sound at all.
You were the first Santa Claus I ever seen packing a rod.
I'm different. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
He will tell the cops then.
Uh-huh. Hey, you. Come here.
Well, I put a $5 bill in the kettle.
Good. Here's your five.
I don't understand.
I don't want the little lady to think that it came from you. Now beat it.
Oh, sure, Santa Claus. Hey, thanks very much.
Now let's proceed. Well, here's my last stop, Broadway.
Look, Dan, forget this business.
Oh, no, I still got Grandma O'Neill's stocking to fill. Come on.
But Shotgun might be watching here.
So, what if he is?
He will get you.
Well, I'm not going to let Shotgun spoil the best Christmas Eve I've had since I was a kid. You coming with me or not?
I can't stand out here on the street.
Well, then come on. She lives on the second floor. Look, Broadway, you stay back of me. No use you getting it, too.
That makes good sense. See anybody?
No.
I do not like this. It is too quiet.
Yeah. Well, here we are. See if the door is locked.
Open.
Uh-huh. Let me go in first.
Be careful, Dan.
I'll go in first and light the light. Nobody here. Nobody but Grandma O'Neill. Sleeping.
I do not like this, Dan. They will come looking for you here.
Oh, let them. Look at her, Broadway. Sleeping in her chair. And that stocking hanging up. Every year she does that. And now we gotta make it worth a while.
Look at that.
Yeah. Pretty stuff, ain't it? You know, there's a $5 reward out for it.
Five? And you're putting it in your stocking?
Yeah, it's a nice Christmas present, ain't it? Here we go.
It looks awful funny in that stocking. And it's going to take more than a little explanation how it gets there.
It's here. That's the main thing. Now, let's get going again.
Where to now?
Oh, I don't know. But you can go home if you want to.
Yeah. I guess I will.
She's going to believe it really is Santa Claus. Somebody came in the door in the hall.
Coming up.
Yeah. Get down, Broadway.
Who's that?
Muriel.
Dan. Oh, Dan. Oh, Dan, you crazy fool.
Oh, now, honey, everything's all right.
Muriel, did you see anybody?
No. But why did you come here?
I had something to do, honey.
Please, Dan, you can't stay here. You can't stay in New York.
What do you want me to do? Run away?
What do you care if that's what it has to be? It's better than being killed.
I don't think so.
Miss O'Neill is right, Dan.
Maybe. Maybe not. Now, look, Muriel. You wait 5 minutes out here in the hall. And you go in your flat.
But why?
Do like I said.
What are you going to do, Dan?
Me? I got a great idea. Do like I said. Broadway? Stay with
me. Dan!
Don't come after me.
Broadway, what's he going to do?
Miss O'Neill, I do not know. And even if I do know, I would not understand it. Well, we do like Dan says. We wait 5 minutes, and then we go into Muriel's flat. When she sees the jewelry in the stocking,
She makes me tell her what happens, and then she runs out in the street to look for Dan. But he is gone. And it's not until the next day that I hear what happens from Good Time Charlie.
Sure, I am telling it straight, Broadway. Dan goes right to the police and tells them he pulled that jewelry job.
And he leaves the jewelry so Muriel will get the reward?
That is the way I figure it, but she will not accept it. But now he will get a couple of years at least.
Sure he will.
You know, maybe it is better this way. He goes to the clink, but he does not get rubbed out by Shotgun Sam.
Yeah, but there is something I do not understand.
What?
Why is it that Muriel does not take the reward money?
Dogs are very funny people sometimes, Broadway. They are very funny people. She says she will wait for him, and they will start all over again.
Yep, like you say, dolls are very funny people. But, Charlie, there is something even funnier.
Yeah? What is that?
I am not able to figure out why Dan is still alive, and why Shotgun Sam is not watching your place here last night. Or haven't it watched? Like I say, it is hard to figure that out. Anyway, Dan goes to the pen, but he gets a light sentence because he says he is going straight, and besides, he gives himself up. He gets out and marries Miss Muriel O'Neill, and the last I hear, they are living happily. But that is not the end of the story. And what the end is, I will tell you in a minute. Again, sitting in Mindy's. It is again Christmas Eve. I look up from my blinkers, and whom do I see but Shotgun Sam? And he is looking at me with a funny look. He comes over and sits down, and the scene is as follows.
Hello, Broadway.
Hello, Shotgun.
It is just about a year since I saw you last, is it not?
Almost exactly.
Mm-hmm. Christmas Eve, last year.
Oh, no, you do not see me last Christmas Eve.
I see you last Christmas Eve.
You do not see me.
You were going to say something?
No.
I see you come out of Good Time Charlie's.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm looking for Dancing Dan. But I'm not looking for him anymore because Heine Schmitz no longer cares for Miss Muriel O'Neill.
Oh. You say you see me last Christmas Eve coming out of Good Time Charlie's?
Yeah. I get a tip that Dancing Dan is headed for there. I get there just as Ookie is going in.
Ah. Ookie?
Yeah. I wait, and then I see you come out with Ookie. I must get a bad steer because Dancing Dan never goes in nor comes out.
It must be a bad steer you get. Well, I guess I will go now.
Mm-hmm. So long.
So long. Oh, and Merry Christmas, Shotgun.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Dancing Dan's Christmas. Listen in again next week for the Damon Runyon Theater. Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
And that was Dancing Dan's Christmas. Coming up next, Dream Street Rose.
Dream Street Rose. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. It is early of an evening, about midnight, when there is nothing much doing anywhere, that I go around to Good Time Charlie's place in West 47th Street. I figure maybe I will have a few games of rummy with Charlie. In fact, we are just sitting down when Charlie looks toward the back door and says,
Now, why does that dame got to pick my place to come in?
Huh? Oh, Dream Street Road.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I will be gone.
No, please do not leave me alone with her, Rob.
You are afraid of her?
Look, when she comes in the door and stands like that, I know she is looking for somebody to talk to. And when nobody listens, she is liable to bust up the joint.
I guess she is just lonesome, Charlie. After all, she is quite an old doll. And many citizens like him shading 20 instead of maybe 60.
She's looking at us. Come on, deal the card. Maybe she will take the hint and go away.
Nope, she is coming over.
We will not listen to her talk. Maybe silence will discourage her.
Okay, okay. Just say hello and leave it at that.
Hello, boys.
Oh, hello, Rose.
Hiya, Rose.
Gonna play rummy, huh?
Yeah, we are just starting. Your deal, Charlie.
Yeah, sure. Nice seeing you, Rose.
That's okay. Go ahead. Deal the cards. And while you play, I'll tell you a story. I want to talk to somebody.
Oh.
What's the matter, Charlie?
Nothing.
You don't like for me to come in here.
Do I say anything like that, Rose?
Yeah, the way you look at me. Okay, maybe I ain't plush and mink, but I'm people, ain't I?
Look, Rose, nobody says anything against you.
Nobody has to. All they gotta do is look, and I know what they think. Broadway, you're a good guy. You see a lot of people, but never like me, huh?
Rose, like you say, you are people.
Nobody thinks so. I'm just Dream Street Rose, the old doll who pushes a mop for a living.
Broadway, she is lighted up.
Me, no!
Look, Rose, maybe you better go home. Come on, I will walk with you.
No, I'm gone!
Okay, Rose. You say you have got something on your mind?
Tell you about a friend of mine.
Sure. Go ahead. If it makes you feel any better, go ahead.
I gotta talk about this friend of mine. She's pretty, Broadway. Real pretty.
Yeah, well, what about her, Rose?
You're a good guy, Broadway. I'll tell you. It's a good story. You'll like it.
Now, when Rose is feeling like telling a story, people listen. Because otherwise, Dream Street Rose is more than 6 to 5 to start tossing things around and making the atmosphere unpleasant. So, we let her tell her story. And it is a strange one. And I will tell it to you in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Dream Street Rose.
Like I say, Dream Street Rose wants to tell us a story about her friend. Now, maybe I better tell you why she is called Dream Street Rose. It is because she lives in a part of the 40s where there are many theatrical hotels and rooming houses. And all the characters who live there gab and gab about what is coming up. All good. This gab is dreamy. Very dreamy indeed. Because nothing good ever happens to them. Rose is like that. She is always talking to anybody who will listen. Tonight, Rose says as follows.
Well, Broadway, Charlie, you know where Colorado is?
Sure. West of Albany.
Uh-huh. Well, a long time ago, my friend lived in a little town in Colorado. She was a waitress there in her old man's joint. She was a good kid. She was real good.
Okay, I will buy that. Now, what is the rest of the story?
Pretty as a picture, that kid was. Had all the guys nuts about her. But you know what, Broadway?
She gives nobody a tumble.
No. And then one day, a guy walks in she never seen before. Ain't much for looks, but he had a nice smile, and he sat down at the counter, and he says to my friend...
Hello.
Hello. What do you have?
Oh, ham and, I guess.
All right. Fry two with... How do you want the eggs?
Light over.
Easy over.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
The answer is no.
Now, don't get excited, kid. All I wanted to know is, what's the best place in town to stay?
Oh, well, the Santa Fe house, I guess.
Thanks.
Why are you laughing?
I didn't run true to form, did I?
I don't know what you mean.
I was supposed to comment on your eyes, your complexion, your, well, everything.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Now what's so funny?
Oh, you small-town characters are all alike.
What's the matter with small towns and people?
Not a thing. I like them.
And why'd you say that?
Oh, forget it. I'm sorry.
Why'd you say it?
Okay, I'll tell you. So you're pretty. Every customer who wears pants and comes in here gives you a line. You expect it. Then when somebody comes in who's been around and has seen more than a jerkwater junction and a doll-faced waitress, well, when somebody like that comes in and doesn't spread butter all over the place, you get sore.
You're pretty smart, aren't you?
No, just been around, that's all.
Lots of people have.
I know. Now, let's stop talking. I came in here to eat. I'm going to eat in silence.
Well, Dream Street Rose tells me that is the way her friend gets acquainted with this guy, whose name is Frank McQuillan. It seems he's a pretty sharp citizen, and it is not long before he is making a good living at the local pool parlor. He is a pretty fair shot. Then, it comes up a couple of weeks later, and since Frank takes all his meals at the little lunch wagon, he and Rose's friend get to know each other better. In fact, one night, he takes her home from the lunch wagon, and while they are walking along, the scene is as follows.
Frank.
Yeah?
Remember the first night you came into the lunch wagon?
Mm-hmm. The eggs were fried too hard.
Is that all you remember?
Well, what else was there?
You said something about small-town characters.
Oh, forget it. I was tired and, well, you burned me a little.
Why?
Well, the way you got sore.
Well, I wasn't really.
No? You acted like it.
Maybe because... Well, I guess I was hurt.
But why?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I didn't turn a backflip when you moved those eyes on me? I'll give 10-1 you got the locals jumping through hoops.
You got a fine opinion of me, haven't you?
Nothing, one way or the other.
What do you think?
What's the difference?
You think I'm a flirt?
You? Oh, no, not at all.
You're making fun of me.
No, I'm not.
Why'd you laugh?
Okay. All right, stop a minute.
Yeah?
You're not a flirt. You wouldn't know how to be one, kid. As far as you know, those eyes of yours are putting your head to seaward. That's all. You stand behind that counter all day scared stiff.
Scared? What?
Of every guy who comes in. He makes a crack, you laugh and give him the fast brush. But underneath, you're scared because you're just a pretty kid who doesn't know what 2 and 2 adds up to. Well?
I hate you.
Sure. Because I told you the truth.
I'll
give you 10-1 you've never been kissed.
I have to.
By whom?
Will Higginbottom.
Oh, the clerk in the grocery.
What's the matter with that?
Nothing. Who said there was?
It's always the way you say things. Like you haven't got any use for anybody or anything.
Maybe I haven't.
Will's a...
He's a fine grocery clerk. And he kissed you. That makes him a big man.
I like him.
Okay. Let's drop Will Higginbottom.
He wants me to marry
him. So marry him.
I might.
Such goings on.
You're mean and contemptible.
Here's a change from grocery clerks.
Let me go.
You want to be let go?
Frank, please.
A grocery clerk... Never like this.
And so Rose's friend falls in love with his Frank citizen. And it is not long before other people know it, including Will Higginbottom, the grocery clerk. Then it comes up one night. Frank has taken Rose's friend home again, and they stop and sit on a bench in a little park.
Something wrong, Frank?
Wrong? What?
I don't know. Haven't said 10 words all evening.
Maybe I've got nothing to say.
Oh, Nice night.
Yes, well.
There is something wrong, isn't there?
Look, why do you keep saying that? A million and one things to talk about, and you keep going over that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank.
But what?
You're leaving, aren't you?
How do you know?
For the last couple of days. I felt.
All right, so you felt right. What of it?
Where are we going?
Say that again, kid.
I said, where are we going?
Where?
Don't laugh.
You tell me a joke, I laugh. Who said anything about we?
I thought...
Are you kidding? What do you want from me?
You love me. You told me.
Did I?
Well, you know you did, Frank. You know it. You told me 100 times.
99.
Gotta take me with you.
Listen, kid, I'm a rolling stone. Here today, gone tomorrow. What fun would that be for you?
I love you.
You think.
I do.
All right, let's break this up. I didn't make any promises, did I?
I didn't think promises were necessary.
So nobody gets hurt.
I will, Frank.
Now, forget.
No, I can't. Don't you understand, Frank? I love you. Ever since the first night you walked in the lunch wagon, you were different.
Not much.
Frank, listen to me.
No, let's break this up.
You can't. You've got to listen to me.
I don't think so.
Frank, where are you going?
Away. I'll drop you a postcard.
Please. I don't want to go with you. Frank, I'll make you happy, I promise. We'll be married.
Matt?
Oh, Matt. Big joke, huh, Frank?
Will.
Sit down, Frank.
Who do you think you are?
Nobody, I said. Sit down.
Why, you small town...
Sit down!
You crazy Hiddenbottom. Put that gun away and go back home.
I will, after you've married her.
Now, listen, fine, but
and
what is
you've
this?
Had a lot of it.
Will, please.
With the two of you.
What are you talking about?
You're going home and get packed, Frank. And then the three of us are going over to Denver. I'll be best man.
Why, if you think I'm going to stand for
the... I don't think I
will. Will, please, I won't.
Yes, you will. You love this guy, all right, he'll marry.
Now, look, Will, there's a law that says I don't have...
it right here in my hand. All right, Frank, take your choice. We go to Denver, or so help me, I'll blow a hole right through you.
Well, that is that. The three of them go to Denver, and Rose's friend and Frank are married there. Now, that is only a little part of the story Rose tells me. And what the rest of it is and how it ends, I will tell you in a minute.
Now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Dream Street Rose.
Like I say, Rose gets to the part of the story about her friend where Frank married her, because Will Higginbotham holds a heater at Frank's middle, which is a unique way of getting to be best man, but it works. Then Rose goes on.
Now, that ain't the end. No, not by a long shot.
I figure it is not.
What's the matter? Don't you believe it?
Oh, sure. Only I hear a million stories like it every day. Why, there are even a million movies about it.
Sure, I know it. But it's got an ending that ain't like the others. You want to hear it?
Look, Rose, I gotta be going because I...
Okay. Well, my friend and Frank get married. And they leave, see? Now a lot of things happen. And one thing my friend finds out is Frank don't love her.
It seems to me that your friend takes quite a bit of convincing.
Yeah, that's right, Broadway. I guess every dame thinks she can make a guy love her. Even 100% heel like Frank.
I guess so.
Well, a couple of months go by. Don't take my friend long to find out that Frank don't like to work. He makes a living by being a good talker. And then one night, he comes into their hotel room.
Frankie?
No, Napoleon. Ha ha. You got me being corny now.
Are you tired, honey?
No. I'm full of vim and vigor. You ever comb your hair?
I was just doing it when you came in.
Uh-huh. Say,
How would you like to go out tonight?
Frankie, you mean?
I said it.
Where, Frank? Where, honey?
Black Emanuel's.
Oh, no, Frank. Someplace else.
No, thanks. Someplace else.
Now, look, you've been yapping about going out. Okay, I offer to take and you pull a long face. What's the matter with Emanuel's place?
I don't like him.
Well, he likes you.
I know.
He's got good connections. Be nice to the guy and he'll do me some good.
You don't need a person like Emanuel, Frank. He's got brains. If he'd get a job, he'd be successful in no time at all. Oh, please, honey.
I'll be ready in a half hour. If you're not, I'll leave without you.
All right, Frank. I'll be ready.
Personally, I think Rose's friend is a dope because nobody but a dope would string along with a citizen like Frank. But she sticks with him, and she smiles nice at Black Emanuel, who smiles back. Then Rose says it comes up one night at Emanuel's place. Rose's friend is sitting at a table waiting for Frank when the scene is as follows.
Hello, baby. I sit down, yes?
Hello, Emanuel. Sure, sit down.
Thank you. You look real extra pretty tonight, baby.
Thank you.
Oh, don't thank me. I thank you.
You thank me? What for?
Well, you make Emanuel's place what you say classy. Look around. What do you see, huh? Not pretty people like you. Sure, I like you. Maybe you like me, huh?
Don't touch me.
Why not? We're good friends, and Frank is...
Frank, what did he say?
Nothing.
What did he say? Tell me.
Oh, look, baby, maybe you don't know, but Frank, he...
What about him?
He's not coming tonight, baby.
Well, why not? He told me he'd meet me here.
Sure, but Frank, he's gone.
Gone where?
Away.
Oh, you're lying. He didn't have any money to go anyplace.
Well, I make him alone. He goes away and you're here.
It's not true.
I tell the truth always, baby. I give him money and he goes. But he leaves you here because he knows Emanuel likes you.
You mean he took money from you? And left me?
Talk too loud.
Get your hands off me.
Look, baby, I'm not so bad. You like me and I make things easy for you. You take a job here in my place, you make it class.
Get away from me. Get away, I say.
People are looking. Be quiet.
I don't care. Get away. Leave me alone. Go away.
All right, baby. Well, listen to Emanuel. You find out it's not so good to be so hungry. Then maybe you come back to Emanuel. Maybe you like me after all.
Of course, I do not believe a word of what Rose says, because she is noted for making up stories that are like dreams. But I see that her eyes are full of tears as she says to me,
"Poor kid. You know what she did, Broadway?"
"No, what?"
"She took the job at Emanuel's place. Tough to be hungry and with no dough, no place to go."
"Well, why does she not go back to Colorado?"
"She can't."
"Well, does she marry Black Emanuel?"
"No. She loved Frank. In fact, she prayed for him every night. She prayed for Frank."
"What? He pulls a big double cross and she remembers him in her prayers?"
"Sure. Every night she prayed that Frank would be a big success like she always knew he could be. He had brains. She wanted him to make good."
"And does he?"
"That's the funny part. He made good. In fact, right here in New York. But my friend didn't find it out until a couple of months ago."
"Now, wait a minute. Please do not tell me that she goes to him and he falls in love with her and is sorry for what he does. That is too much."
"She went to him. Yeah. My friend, after 20 years, went to Frank. She surprised him one night when he was alone. My friend says she'll never forget the look on his face when he looked up and seen my friend standing there, big as life. He blinked a couple of times and then..."
"You? Well, you're dead."
"No, Frank. Not me."
How did you get in here?"
"I'll tell you that in a minute. You did all right for yourself, didn't you, Frank?
What do you want, money?
Me? No, I'm rich. Rich as you are.
Now, you're crazy. Now, look, the way we were married, you didn't expect me to stick it out, did you?
No, of course not. I only minded what you did with Black Emmanuel. I only mind what happened to me after a few months working for him.
How did you get in?
I know your maid. I got a key from her, snitched it out of her bag.
I'll call the police.
No, you...
What? What's the idea?
This is the second time a gun's been pointed at you. Second time I know of.
What do you want?
You're rich, wife, three kids away at a fancy school.
Makes sense, will you?
Sure. Nobody's seen me come in. The key I got's for the little door off the terrace, the one that's being fixed with tar.
What's that got to do with us?
I'm going to leave this gun with you,
Frank.
You're
going to... What?
Sure. I'm going to give you the chance you never gave me. That's why I prayed you'd be successful and rich, to make it harder on you.
Now, look, $10,000 to fix things, my check, or cash. I got that much cash in the safe.
Maybe even more.
Yeah,
huh?
Sure, even more.
Oh, I'm enjoying this. I picked a night when the butler'd be off and the maid's off and your kid's away at school and your wife at some doing or
other. Stop it! You had your fun, now take the money and go.
You don't owe me a penny. Not a red cent. Only your life. Your life for mine, Frank.
What? You are crazy.
I figured it all out. Be like this when I'd find you. If I kill you, it'd be a big scandal. Your wife and kids would be dragged in, and people would find out you never even bothered to get a divorce from me.
I thought you were dead.
But I'm going to give you a chance. Here, take this gun.
Take the gun?
People think you killed yourself that way. Save your wife and kids a lot of scandal. See, I'm giving them a break, too.
So you'd think I'd use this gun on myself, eh?
Figuring on using it on me, eh?
Why not? You broke in, threatened me?
Sure. Only I left a lot of letters around and a marriage certificate signed by Will Higginbottom as a witness.
Will?
They'll ask him. He'll be glad to tell what he knows. And then I wonder how your wife and kids will take it, huh? No, Frank, you won't use that gun on me because you can't. A lot better if you use it on yourself.
No, I can't do that. I can't.
Why not? It's easy, Frank. I killed myself a long time ago, only not with a gun. Mine was dirtier and harder.
Now, please, for heaven's sake, I'll make it up to you.
Sure, with that. Goodbye, Frank. Boy, my prayers sure was answered.
Now, where are you going? Where are you going?
And I want to hear that gun go off before I get back out on the terrace. Because if I don't...
Oh, please don't! Listen, police! Will you? Please don't!
That's the story, Broadway. A good one, huh?
Oh, first rate. You must tell me another one sometime, Rose.
Be glad to, Broadway. We'll see you around, Broadway. Charlie?
Sure, Rose.
Yeah, drop in again. After a long time. She can really dream him up.
Poor old Dow. You think that story is a dreamer?
Why, sure. Look, do you hear of a guy by the name of Frank McQuillan knocking himself off?
No.
There is never anything in the papers about it. And when a guy with as many potatoes as Rose says this Frank has got bumps himself, there is always a big thing in the papers.
I guess you are right, Charlie. But that doll can really make them dreams sound real. So I and Charlie go back to our room. And we think no more about the story about Rose's friend. But it is not the end. And what the payoff is, I will tell you in a minute. Comes up a couple hours later, which makes it about 2 in the morning. We stop the rummy game while Charlie waits on a customer. Then he comes back over to me and says as follows.
Bob Wade, do you remember what I say about the papers? If this Frank bumps himself, it has got to be in the papers.
Sure, why?
A customer leaves this newspaper. Just idle-like, I glance at it, and what do I see but this?
Millionaire suicide.
Go ahead and read it.
Police this evening were called to the home of Frank McQuillan to investigate what was apparently a suicide. The butler discovered the body in the study about 11 p.m. after returning from the movies with the maid.
Butler, maid?
Yeah. The butler had been home a half hour before discovering the body of Mr. McQuillan. When the police asked him why, he stated that because he forgot his key, he had been forced to use the terrace entrance under repair. Tar used in the repairs had covered his shoes, and he changed them before going to the study.
Like you say, that Rosendahl can really dream him up.
Sure.
What are you laughing at?
Rose sees this in the early editions and comes in here and gives us the business.
Huh?
The old doll has a good laugh.
Boy, are we the saps. Are we the...
What is the matter, Charlie?
Broadway, only you and Rose and one customer come in here tonight. Is that correct?
Sure, why?
Rose comes in the back way. You use the front. So does the customer.
Well, what are you getting at?
Look. Look from the back door to this table.
Yeah, I see. Charlie, you are going to have a real tough time cleaning the floor. Tar is very hard to get off.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Dream Street Rose. The Damon Runyon Theater. Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
This has been Yesterday Once More. Today we heard the Damon Runyon Christmas programs. I'm Rob Hancock, inviting you to join us again soon for another edition of Yesterday Once More. Until then, so long for now.
Well, is anybody still there? Are you guys still awake? Did you guys make it through the program? Or too much tryptophan still? Well, gang, this'll do it for another edition of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. See you guys next week. And remember, we do take requests. My email address is mikeameli@earthlink.net. All right, guys. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
And I'm Rotten Rick, joining Michael and hoping you'll be here with us next week as we open up another box and see what's inside. You know, right now, we don't even know. So come along and let's find out. Next week on Michael's Saturday Surprise.